Well, it's good to be with you this morning. Take your Bibles, and I'll give you a little introduction here. But go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Wow. In church for the first time in a month and a half. I've never been out of nothing that long. Since I've been saved, I've never been out of church that long. And I've never been out of work that long. Amen. You'll hear me working at my breathing this morning, and I'll probably sound weird for the next couple of weeks, but I'll give you some introduction here. Look at Psalm 91, and I know we normally read together, and so I'm going to read verse 1. You read verse 2 with me. I'll read verse 3, and then I'll pray. Okay? Let's read. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And let's pray together. Father, thank You. Thank You. It's so wonderful to be with Your people around Your word in Your house because of all that You've done for us. Lord, Your salvation. Lord, life. You hold our next breath in Your hand. And so, Father, it's just wonderful to be with Your people. Please speak to our hearts this morning. Strengthen us as Your children. And please meet with us as only You can.
And Lord, in my frailty, dear God, I know when I'm weak, You're strong. And I do pray that Your power, please, would rest upon me, not for my sake or my glory, but Lord, for Your people and for Your honor and Your glory, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. And I have learned a lot. And,
I'll tell you something that I'll explain something to you here as a pastor. Keep your finger right there at Psalm 91. We'll come back here in just a second. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'm going to show you a verse that's been on my mind, and you could call it a pressure release valve for me at this time, because there's so much I can't do that I normally would do. You say, Brother Hiles used to say, show me what you leave undone at the end of the day, and I'll show you what type of a Christian you are, because none of us can do it all. Well, in this time of getting better, recovery, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 has meant a lot to me. It says, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. And then watch this phrase, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Doesn't mean you become sinless, but that verse has meant so much to me, as affliction is a pain that continues. It is a weight you continue to carry. Suffering is the same thing. I don't know that I'm suffering, but I'm dealing with things my limitations. This has reminded me my life is but a vapor. We are here and we're not. And this, the Lord, I say, Lord, teach me. I'm laying on my back for a reason. And this has shown me how frail we are. And I'm not going to live forever. And you're not going to live forever. So the time you have needs to be for the Lord. When you read the last part of the verse, he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. What suffering teaches you is what's really important. And the things you used to do that you didn't consider real bad, when God reminds you, you only have a short time on this earth, you reprioritize your life. You say, why would you show us this? I deal all the time now with things I can't do yet. Amen? Yeah. I can't run. I can't sing. I've never been able to not sing since I've been saved. Now I mouth the words and I think about what we're singing. I listen to y'all. It means so much, but I've never been able to not sing. When I was 14 years old on the tractor, my grandpa would put me going back and forth 12, 14 hours a day. I'd sing above that diesel engine. And now to not sing, I'm in a new world. And God shows me what's important. And so God, this verse has meant so much to me. For instance, you ready? See the banner right above my head? It's been there since April. You don't think that drives me nuts? I do the decorations for our church. I know it. See how it says spring camp? Yeah, we're in the fall. You don't think that rides heavy? I don't want to take it down because I don't have anything to put in its place. Amen? And I figured, looks nice, colorful. Amen? But I live with what I can't do. And I'm learning to be satisfied with what I can do. And I choose carefully now what I can do because I have little to give. You see how the verse applies? Hath ceased. You don't become sinless. I sinned yesterday, I'll sin today. But you do reprioritize your life in the times of suffering and weakness. And I wanted to this morning now go back to Psalm 91. And I have to be careful. A pastor in California texted me and he said, so this is the first Sunday in your pulpit. And I said, yes, sir. He said, be careful. He said, a man in my church, when he was coming back, he dove into his Sunday school class and he was not anticipating the shortness of breath when you speak. And I said, okay, thank you. Then I'll make sure this Sunday is a short one. So you say, don't say that. Every time you say it, it's a long one. I really don't think this morning's will be a long one. But let me show you something else that the Lord laid on my heart. Look at Psalm 90 and verse 1. You see the part right above the announcement God tells us? This is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And Psalm 90 and Psalm 91 are attributed to Moses. And let me just remind you, for the first 40 years of his life, he was in Pharaoh's palace. From 40 to 80, he was on the backside of a desert keeping sheep, talking to no one. And from 80 years old to 120, he led God's people. So when God used him to pen this, he's probably 115 years old. We know he dies at age 120. So this is a man of God who walked with God from 40 to 80, nothing but sheep, and then led God's people through God's preparation time. With that in mind, knowing what he's seen, notice what he says, verse 1, Psalm 90. We'll get to Psalm 91 in just a second. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And just so you know what God he's talking about, he says, before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. We serve a God that is eternal. It is not Allah. There is nothing similar. There is only one Jehovah Creator God who is eternal and who is forever and always has been. And he makes that declaration. He said, God, you're the God that we have served. And then watch this. Look at verse 3. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. That verse should mean so much to you. He turns men to destruction and spanks his children when they do wrong. But he always says, are you ready to come back? I'm ready to receive you. We all get backslidden. We all make mistakes. We all make bad judgments. But when God says, okay, this is going to bring chastisement in your life, destruction, and yet come back.
Don't stay away. I love you.
I'm willing to receive you. When you're done playing, when you're done and you figured out the devil is a liar, return. Come back. I have that verse underlined in my Bible, and it means so much to me. Verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight are as yesterday. That's because he's eternal. And then look up at verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Tonight I'm going to preach a message called Things I Know, because there's so much uncertainty that we don't know right now. I don't care. Pick any aspect of America you want to talk about. Financially, politically, socially, economically. Pick any aspect. There's so much we don't know. But what comforts me is what I do know. And I think it'll be a blessing to your heart. God says here, we spend our years as a tale that is told. That tells me God's in control. And my life, if I'll give it to God, is already planned. It was a tale that's told that I'm living out. It's something God planned. If I'll give myself to the Lord. Everybody doesn't follow God's path. You follow God's path as you ask God to guide you and lead you. But everything you do is not of God. We live our lives as a tale that tells me God's in control. If I'll give my life to him and self to him. Watch this. Verse 10. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, 80 years old, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. That tells me my life expectancy and God's plan for our life is that we live 70 years on this earth, some shorter, some longer. I love what Brother Wilkins says. He's 81. 85. How come I always get it wrong? Okay, He's 85, and I like what he says. You see the end of that verse? It says, and we fly away. He always says to me, he goes, I'm in the flyaway zone. He's over 80. That means he said, I'm getting ready to go home. That should be our attitude. Amen. Amen. Well, now keep on going here. Watch this. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Look at verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. For me to live is supposed to be Christ, and to die is gain. My life is supposed to be for Christ. Teach me, Lord. I'm going to die someday. When I was in the hospital and thinking, well, only got two options here. I'm either getting out or dying. Wasn't a whole lot to choose from. And when they came to me day three and said, if your oxygen goes down any further, we're going to put you on a ventilator. Those words should mean we're going to kill you. You only have a 15% chance. If you're put on a ventilator, that's what the doctors are saying. Nobody should be put on a ventilator because of what it does to the lungs. When they told me that, yeah, a chill went down my spine. That was on Saturday. I went to the hospital on a Thursday. And from then till I got out, which would be a week, I thought, Lord, I'm not scared of death. I know where I'm going, but my days may be shorter than I thought. Have I been as wise as I should be? Am I ready to die? And if, Lord, if this is your time, then so be it. I rest in you. But when you read that verse, teach us to number our days, because I'm not going to live forever. And help me live for you with what I have. I've told you before, I hope I get up tomorrow morning. I'd like to, but I have no guarantee that I'm getting up tomorrow morning, and neither. Neat verse, maybe, and no, I'm not going to dwell on death every Sunday, okay? However, fresh out of the hospital, you do have some wonderful thoughts, and I try to keep them scriptural here. Watch this. It says, Now that's chapter 90. Now look at chapter 91, and let me show you. He's established the God that we serve. He's established who we are and how frail we are. And then watch this. Chapter 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You say, what's the secret place of the Most High? I looked up the word secret in the Bible, and the first time it's found is Deuteronomy 27. Verse 15, and it says, cursed is the man that makes an idol and hides it in a secret place. So a secret place would be out of the view of everyone else, right? Might be something to conceal. But a secret place would be a place of concealment. When I read 1 Samuel 19:2, that is where Jonathan told David, my father wants to kill you. Hide yourself in a secret place. So a secret place, I have three things listed here so that I could figure out, I want to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. So what is that? Well, first of all, it's a place of concealment. It's a place where nobody else sees. Then I looked up, as a matter of fact, I'd like you to go there. Keep your finger in Psalm 91. Go to Psalm 18 and look at verse 11. Psalm 18 and verse 11. We'll stay in Psalms here. Watch this. Psalm 18, 11. He made darkness his secret place. Who did? The one that's answering David's prayer. The one that is riding on that. Look at verse 10. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. There's only one that does that, and that's God. So who dwells in darkness that is his secret place? God does. So a secret place is number one, a concealed place that's hidden. It's number two, a place where God is. God's there. That's Psalm 18:11. Go to Psalm 36. Go to Psalm 36. I know you understand this here just for a second, but watch this. I think we quote the verse, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty. Okay, what is the secret place? Because it's only there that I dwell in the shadow of the wings of God. I want that secret place. It's a hidden, concealed place. It's a place where God is. Look at Psalm 36, verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. There's the shadow, the place of protection. To get there, I have to dwell in the Almighty, the secret place of the Almighty. Look at one more. Just go back to Psalm 81, verse 7. Psalm 81 and verse 7. Watch this. Psalm 81 and verse 7. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. So what's a secret place? It's two things so far. It's a place of concealment, and it's a place where God is. It's a place where God speaks to me. One more thing. What's a secret place? Go to, we just did. I'm sorry. It's one more thing. We just looked at it. It's a place where I can cry out to God. So it's hidden. It's concealed. God is there, and it's a place where I pray. Those verses in Psalms, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard my voice and delivered me. Those meant so much to me in the hospital, because there were many times I cried to the Lord. I cried out, and he heard my cry. I remember I wanted out of there so bad. They said, if you can get to 93% oxygen, we'll send you home. But it has to be without oxygen coming out of the wall there. So that Sunday, I kept working at it in my bed, and I just kept praying, Lord, please get me out of here. Please let me go home. Please, Lord, you're a good God. You're not on trial, but please get me out of here. And I said, and when God did at 5:30 that Sunday, those verses, I cried unto the Lord and heard my cry. And I praised him. Thou shalt call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify. God says, okay, I delivered you. Now praise me. Amen. And I thought of those verses. It's a place, the secret place of the Most High is a place that's concealed, it's hidden, it's a place where God is, and it's a place where I can cry out to God. The reason this is so important is now look at Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is not for believers all. I'm so glad getting saved is simple and free by placing your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. But it's just like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God's not everybody's shepherd. He's only your shepherd if you let him lead you. He's not your shepherd because you're saved. And this verse, just because you're saved, doesn't mean you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is choice. After you're saved. And here God says, I have many blessings I want to give you, but you have to choose to dwell in the secret place. The place that's concealed. The place where God is and the place where you cry out to me. If I asked you, Christian, where's your secret place? Lord, help you if it's only church. This is not a secret. This is a place where God speaks to us, but we're not hidden. Do you understand? We're not concealed. Yes, God is here. And God speaks to us, but this is not a secret place. If I asked you, where is your secret place? It isn't church. Do you have a place tomorrow where you're going to meet with God that's hidden and concealed? In other words, it's not open to the world. Do you have a place where God is and where you can cry out to the Lord? If you don't, then the blessings you're going to read about from verse 2 all the way to verse 16, they're not yours. They could be. Amen. This is called one of the most cheerful, encouraging psalms. If I meet God's conditions. Look at verse 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. That's if you set your love on the Lord. And no, everybody's love is not on the Lord. That's your choice. You say, what blessings are you talking about? Look at verse number 2. Ready? His decision was to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Refuge, the place of protection, the place I run to when I get scared. I know there's comfort food. One thing's for sure, when you get sick with COVID, you can't stand eating. I've never had that happen to me in my life either. I mean, thank the Lord for Brother Julio, you know. He said, you eat everything regardless of how you got to have your energy. You eat everything that's put before you. I thought chewing, the more I chewed food, it was nauseating. But I made myself. You say, what's that have to do with the tea in China? I know there's comfort food. Some people run to food. Some people run to their media. Who do you run to when you get scared? Is God your refuge? Is he the one you cry out to? Y'all realize this is a choice, right? You can if you're saved, but because you're saved doesn't mean that you do. It's a choice you make. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Look at another blessing. Look at verse 3. It says, surely he shall deliver thee from two things. The snare of the fowler. What's a fowler? That's someone that catches birds, right? So they put this trap in there, and the bird unknowingly, God says, I'll give you, if you dwell in the secret place and make me your refuge, I'll give you the ability to see Satan's deceptive traps so you don't step in them. I'll give you perception and discernment to see when the devil's trying to trap you that others won't have. They'll just keep walking right on. They'll get caught. To keep thee, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and then watch this, and from the noisome pestilence. The word noisome means offensive and noxious and ill-smelling. Isn't that funny? You'd think noisome would be loud, but God says it stinks. Obviously, the smell of death. God says, if you will make me your refuge and dwell in my secret place and spend time with me and set your love upon me, I'll help you see Satan's traps when others don't. And I'll keep you from the nasty pestilence. You say, well, you got sick. No, thus far, I don't want anybody to get it, but thus far I've gotten it the worst in the church. You say, why? When you read Hebrews 5, 1 and 2, you find out the priests are compassed about with sin so they can have compassion on the people. I never made light of COVID. I knew it was, but when you get it to the degree I got it, yeah, you learn some things, and it's not going away. Oh, we can get rid of this like measles and polio. We will not. We will live with this until Jesus comes. And when he comes, he's going to make it all right. The curse is going to be lifted. But all three doctors I've talked with who've gotten it twice said it's about every 10 months. It's right on schedule. I'm not excited about going through it again, but it's like the flu. We live with it. It will never go away. Amen? So we need to learn. And next Sunday, I thought it'd be good if I didn't do it the first Sunday I was back, but next Sunday, I'm going to go through everything I've studied to help us as a church and to help you. And I'm going to go, I've already got the sermon done. I'll show you. And I think it will be very helpful to us. You say, why? One thing, and then I'll get back to here. If our thinking is not right on COVID, it has the potential to destroy our church. Every pastor I've talked with, Brother Ross included, said at their church, there are people who've said, when COVID's done and it's gone, then we'll come back to church. And these are people who've been in church 40 years. Well, if that's the case, you'll never be back in church. It's never leaving. Then when people come to church, people wear masks. People who don't, and then the people who wear masks look at the people who aren't and say, you're spreading this and killing people. And people who don't wear masks look at the people who are wearing them saying, you're living in fear and controlled by the media. And it does what? It divides a church. So I feel like, and I'll show you, as a pastor, I think it's my job to help us think correctly about this. And that's next Sunday morning sermon. Here we go. It says, from the noisome pestilence, disease. Look at verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. I have those words, thou shalt not be afraid, underlined in my Bible. It's not a command that God says, you shall not be afraid, and if you do, it's sin. God is saying, if you make me your secret place, and you make me your refuge, and you dwell in my shadow, because you've set your love upon me, you will never be afraid. That's what he's saying. If you make me the one you run to, you'll never fear. Well, what happens if I get sick? I learn in Job chapter 1, the devil can only afflict me when he has God's permission. I'm not the devil's chew toy. Neither are you if you set your love upon the Lord. If it's time for me to go, it's time for me to go. If it's time to get sick, then I know it's God's will if I'm living right. Now, if you're doing drugs and running with the wrong crowd, yeah, you're the devil's chew toy. You submitted yourself to the devil's crowd. But when you're going to church and when you're trying to live right, Satan has to get God's permission to afflict you. And that's when God says they can handle it and it will help them. Right? That's Job chapter 1. That's Job chapter 1. It says here, thou shalt not be afraid. Because verse 6 says, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. You know, it says here, you shall not be afraid of the disease. That's what pestilence is. You want to do a neat word study? Look it up in your Bible. I'll say it again. I'm not excited about getting this again. I don't know anybody that is. I know the younger people, sometimes it doesn't go to pneumonia. But next week I'll teach you. The virus only lives 5 days. After that, the results, if it goes to pneumonia. That's why, you know, yes, I had COVID. That was in August. It's dead. Somebody goes, well, I don't want to get it. You know, okay, I won't give it to you, and I can't give it to you for another 10 months. So you do not have to, you know, the moment you shake my hand, you know, with a hand sanitizer and everything else, you know, and, you know, you don't have to do that. I guess if you like the taste of it, you can, but ha, ha, ha. Okay, so thou shalt not be afraid of the... My wife and I were talking last night. I'm learning what's helping the immune system, and I want to pass it on. But if Jesus tarries, I'm going to get it again. It's just a fact. But you can control how it affects you by what you take, and I'll pass that on to you next Sunday. Watch this. It says, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Watch verse 8. It's meant so much to me since I've been saved. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Okay, let's take salvation just for a second. If you're saved and you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, God says, only with your eyes will you, we will look. Read Isaiah 66, last chapter in Isaiah. We will look on those who are cast into hell. And we will watch them for a month. It says from one new moon to the next. And we will watch them writhe and scream and burn. And then God says, as you see them burn, you'll see what I saved you from. You will worship me and you will praise me for my salvation. Only with your eyes, if you're saved, will you see the reward of the wicked, those who wouldn't trust Christ, but you'll never go there. Amen? Let's go to the earth now. God says, if you'll dwell in my secret place and make me your refuge, then only with your eyes will you see the reward of the wicked, but it will not come nigh you. Oh, if you don't want to live without God, that's how you live. That's how your family turns out. That's how your children turn out. That's how your life is ruined. Only, that's why going to the bus route's good. It's good to invite people to church and to see. I think it's good for our kids to see. Praise God for your Christian family. You know, you go in there and the smell of the marijuana and you hear the cursing at the children, and we get to give them a couple hours of wonderful peace a week where they're not cussed at and sweared at, in some cases molested. Only with thine eyes shalt thou see the reward of the wicked. It pays to live for God. I'll see it in eternity and I'll see it here on the earth. Then watch this. Verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague, interesting word, disease, come nigh thy dwelling. God says, I'm in control, but you have to choose to make God your secret place. We'll close this morning with this thought. Christian, a secret place of the Most High is a place that's concealed. It's not out in the open. It's a place where God is, and it's a place where you cry to the Lord and you talk to Him. Do you have a place like that? Because if you ask anybody in America, hey, do you love God? Oh, yeah, I love God. Everybody loves God. Of course you do. What you do when nobody sees you and your time with the Lord determines the strength of your Christianity. Where is your secret place? Where is the place that you talk with God and dwell and you run to? I hope tomorrow you have a wonderful place where you spend time with God. Everybody understand, this isn't about salvation. This is about your relationship with the Lord. This is about your walk with God. And if it doesn't exist, you can be saved, praise God, because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But all of these blessings, you haven't chosen them. God can't bless you this way because you've not chosen Him. You understand? It's a choice. And I hope this encourages you and helps you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. I know.